Good testimonies, huh? What God is doing. I know we sang that song earlier, and we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we have to continue to testify the goodness of God. And it's not because we like to hear ourselves, and it's not because we like to boast about what he's doing, but we like to tell people of what God has done in our lives. And that's the power. The word of the blood of the Lamb is what saves us, and the word of our testimony is what keeps us. So church, testify. It might be small to you, but to the individual that might be going through that very thing, it might be big to them. And they might need to hear what you have to say. So testify of the goodness of God, big or small. Amen. This morning, you can turn to the book of Galatians. We're going to come out of Galatians chapter 6. And before we get into the word this morning, I just wanted to touch a little bit of, I know I've been here many years. I've been out of Buffalo. This will be 5 years now. It's been 5 years now since I've been out here, so I've been here, this would be probably my fifth time out in this church. But I've worked alongside Dave Beniak, our last director, for the last 5 years. You probably, you know, haven't seen much of me, but maybe you have. But I kind of carry the same kind of testimony as Dave Beniak. In 2009, me and him were both students in the program in Long Island Teen Challenge. I was a kid that grew up in Brooklyn. One of four kids, great family, grew up in the church, went to church every time my parents told we needed to go to church, every prayer service, every Sunday service, any service, we were there. And I grew up knowing the things of God. I just didn't practice them. I just thought it was something my parents did. It was just, you know, it's just something that we just did as a family. By the time I got to junior high school, my parents couldn't afford schooling. We were in private school till junior high. One of four kids, parents couldn't afford it, into public high school. Public high school in Brooklyn and New York City, a little different than up here. A lot of people, a lot of bad things, and just poor, poor influence in my life. Hung around with the wrong people. By the time I got to high school, I couldn't... me saying no stopped. I got into drugs, I got into alcohol, I got into all that stuff, just like everyone in this program, and I needed help. And in 2009, I needed to cry out to a ministry, and it was the Teen Challenge. And I walked through the doors of Long Island Teen Challenge in October 28th of 2009, where my journey began with the Lord, and it was the best decision. I know that Patrick said it was the best decision of my life, that I finally just said, I can't do this anymore. 24-year-old kid, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I walked through those doors, and it was the greatest decision of my life. I stand here today. Now, this coming October is going to be 15 years since I've entered the program. This November 19th is going to be 14 years since I've graduated the program. I am married, happily married, to a beautiful wife, three lovely children. And God has blessed me beyond measure than I can ever, ever imagine. And I'm so grateful. And the thing is, he is a God that can do it for anyone at any time. You might hear these stories this morning, and you might think of the testimonies, and you might think, man, I don't got a testimony like that. Guess what? If you were born into this world, you need a Savior. The minute you were born into this world, you need a Savior. You don't need a pass. You don't need a drug habit. You don't need a drink, alcohol. You can be a really good person and go to hell without a Savior. That's just the truth. These just understand the testimonies to encourage us to say, man, it all points to him. Everything points to the Savior. Everything has to point to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I had you turn to the book of Galatians, and we're going to talk about Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, about growing weary and I brought up just being who I was in Teen Challenge and walking through the doors. And what I love to remember is our graduations. And if you've never been to a Teen Challenge graduation, like our Facebook page, we're going to be putting all of our dates on there. They're the greatest things you can go to. It is just a room full of miracles that were broken and lost that God turned around. And a year later, they can say, man, I'm set free. My family's back. My life is back. My wife wife wants me, whatever it is, but the main thing is they have found a savior. They have found who Jesus Christ is to them. And I think about the graduation, when we go to these graduations, I reminisce of who I was. And then I start to think about when I was a student and who I roomed with and what I did. You know, I started in Long Island, but my program ended in Rearsburg, Pennsylvania. I went to what they call God's Mountain, and that's where I graduated from. So I graduated there. It was a little different, man, being a city kid, smelling manure for 8 months. It was a little different, but it was the greatest time of my life. It was tranquil. I got time to be alone with the Lord. It was an awesome time. But what the biggest thing was I ready to put to test and practice what I've learned, received, and believed? Was I ready to operate as a man of God? And most of all, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to go into Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. If we can we stand for the reading of God's word this morning? I'm going to start from verse 6 and then I'm going to end at 9. Let the one who taught the word share all good things with those who teach us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And Father God, I thank you this morning. Oh Lord, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you use me this morning, Lord, to speak to your people what you would like to be spoken to, Lord. Lord, let there be ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, we love you and we need you, and we could do nothing outside of who you are. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I just hope to just bring a little bit of encouragement, and hopefully to more than just one of you, maybe just one of you. We're just going to talk about focusing on the word weary this morning. And hopefully I can share some things with you to help us not grow weary. You see, there is going to be times in your walk with the Lord that you will grow weary. You will question what is going on and even question, are you doing good today? I'm here to tell you, you are not alone. We're going to discuss growing weary while doing good, what that looks like, why sometimes we get to a place of feeling down and out or just not understanding why we are where we are. I know for me, there is numerous times in my life since completing the program of Teen Challenge that I felt this way and even questioned God because I felt alone. Even times in my marriage where I felt out of place and even frustrated with how things are. And since my wife's not here this morning, we won't go into the stories. but just worn out. And all this while working, staying sober, staying in ministry, and most of all living for Jesus. You know, to that place. Anybody get to that place ever feeling like, Lord, I just don't understand. I'm doing what you've called me to do. I feel like I'm in the right place, but just things just don't feel right. I feel like things aren't lining up for me. I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceilings. I just feel worn out. I feel worn out. You see, when we look at this portion of scripture, when we look at this portion and really the book of Galatians, that Paul writes to the Galatians, it comes at a time when he's trying to encourage them back to the faith. Here we have Paul who gave them the good news, and after a short period of time, they have fallen away from the true gospel that he gave them. They have been swayed away from this truth by Jewish leaders and also current people who are leading them. Things like them being Gentiles and not adhering to Jewish customs like circumcision and the way a person can be saved. How you must work for your salvation and do customary things to receive salvation. Just things that probably had them questioning what they were doing and ultimately turning from what Paul had taught them. In chapter 1, Paul opens up with his normal loving greeting. And here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But then he quickly gets to the point of what he needs to say. Chapter 6, He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who has called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I will say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Here we have the people that have heard the good news, possibly even seen the good news. This book was written around 45 to 49 AD. And the thing is, this is about 15 years, 10 to 15 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You see, they have seen. It's been a short while. And Paul makes that note. He says, I even chosen to either... Here we have the people that have heard the good news, possibly even seen the good news, but still have chosen to either question the validity of most of it, mostly because of their status of being Gentiles. I even think back to the Old Testament, to the people of Israel, and how they saw the awe and wonder of God time and time again, but still swayed in their belief. And if you go back to the Israelites, right, and Moses led their people, they were in captivity, and God brought them through. They walked on dry land, and they're walking literally through walls of water on each side, and they get to the other side. What was the first thing they did? They didn't say, thank you, Jesus. They said, hey, we're hungry, we're thirsty. What's going on here? We want to go back. Get us back. What are you doing? And here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, Paul says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world? Whose slaves you want to be once more. He's telling them like, hey, what's going on? Like I gave you a gospel. I gave you something to help you. And Paul understood, because even in this time, it was around 44 to 49 AD, also in this time that there was a great famine. So there was a lot going on that the Gentiles, that this group of people were feeling. They were stressed out. Now, Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary while doing good. And how can it help us not give up? What can we do to not feel like we're inwardly just being dragged or just feel tired? One of my points, first point is we need to have a good influence filter. Or AKA a Holy Spirit tune-up. We need to have a good influence filter. And what do I mean by that? We need to be careful and mindful of who and what we let into our minds, and our life, and our soul. Right now in the world we live in is a prime example of why we should have a good influence filter. Between political mess that is swaying people to be more loyal and invested to a group of certain party or people, to false doctrines and teachings that have men and women clinging to books and prophetic words and TV shows. We have taken the word of God out of our foundation of living and replaced it with false hope and things that are temporary and not eternal. See, the thing is, the people of Israel, the Gentiles at this point, this is something new. And the Jewish leaders were almost like condemning them, like kind of like, well, yeah, you're kind of saved, but you're not part of the chosen, you know, you're not Jewish. So really, are you saved? You know, you're not circumcised, so I don't know. So they're going back and forth. But also, there's a point in Galatians chapter 2, is a point where even Paul has to rebuke Peter, because Peter and James are leading them, and he's saying, hey, if you were once a Jew, he says, and now a Gentile, and live like a Gentile, why do you hold these Gentiles to the status as Jews? You're confusing them. You're confusing them. Why? What are you doing? And they were just to a point of, they were just getting tired and getting so tired. And I don't know about you, but even like yesterday, I got a phone call about my car warranty, IRS, you know, scamming me for the IRS, you name it. There's another telemark, another scam, just something going on there. You see, this day and age, we live in a world of deceit. And if you don't have proper discernment, if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and heed to his convictions, we are in trouble. And I want to go back to look to the word weary and what it means. In the Webster Dictionary, it says feeling or showing tiredness, especially as a result of excessive exertion or lack of sleep. But when we look at the Greek word for weary, we have ekakeo. And ekakeo means to be faint or weary. And what I like most about this word is when we break it down to what it originally means, ekakeo is made up of two separate Greek words. And they are ek, it means out from and to, and kakos, which means inwardly bad. And with this properly, really, the definition of this word means to be negatively influenced with the outcome of experience inner weariness. You see, when we allow negative influence to enter our lives, we can sometimes allow them to reshape our thinking and even what we believe. You see, I'm pretty sure the Galatians didn't just jump on that train that the Jewish leaders were pushing on them, from probably dismissing them to maybe believing them. But over time, it probably wore on them, being told they were wrong and not doing things the right way. And for some of you, that is true today. Allowing the cracks in your foundation to crumble from negative and not eternal things. But we must all be mindful of what we let influence our lives, and most of all, our relationship with God. And this is what Paul is trying to really teach them. As you go through this book, and I challenge everyone here, go through the book of Galatians. It's not long. Take you an hour if you really dive into it. If you don't, 20 minutes. But an hour. It should take you time. Take you time to just read it. But it's just a book of how Paul just breaks down, and as he starts in verse 1 of, hey man, this is what's going on. And if we look in chapter 2, when I think about the influence, in Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 11, Paul talks about how he was called by God. And he starts going into his calling, and he says, For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But then he who had set me apart before I was born, and he who had called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And he goes on, he talks about how he met with Peter, and it took him years, almost 14 years. The thing is, when Paul was saved, the thing was he stopped what he was doing and ran after the things of God. He no longer was influenced. Can you imagine if when he was knocked off the horse, right? He was like, you know what? It takes time. I'm going to need some time. So instead of killing 20 Jews, I'm going to kill 10 now. You know, it wasn't that. It was instantaneously. It was instantaneously he knew that he was saved and set apart, and he knew he needed to have better influence. He needed to study. He needed to go further into what God wanted for his life. And that's why we need influence, healthy influence in our life, not just something that is going to be mundane, not just the normal. If you're doing the normal after something, if you're doing what you've done before, and you say you've been saved and set free by Jesus Christ, you might want to ask yourself that question again. Because we shouldn't be the same. We shouldn't be the same. It's exciting. Set free, because it's not just like set free from a financial debt. It's set free from the penalty of death. It's set free that we have eternal life. So we have a good influence filter. Like I said, Paul just starts off in Galatians, and he's talking about his calling, and he's talked about what he did, and he's writing this letter to them urgently, because he knows, like, hey, like, I just left there, and I just feel like you guys just put this to the wayside. And then as we go through Galatians, He's encouraging them and he's loving them and he's giving them the answers that that they needed. But as we so one thing we need to do is have a good influence filter. What are you doing? What are you spending most of your time in? What are you giving your heart, your soul, and your mind? Because as Christians, if this is not our focal, right, then you have to really, like I said, ask yourself, what does it really mean to be a Christian and be in relationship? If I say my wife, me and her, we have a relationship, and I saw her once every 7 months, it's probably not a relationship, and she probably won't be my wife. You understand? Sometimes it's simple things. The simple things are the hard things. And Paul, and like I said, Paul understood that everything that the people were going through. He knew that there was no food. He knew that they were being pressured. But the thing is, we sometimes, because we're the same as what the Bible teaches us, we're the same people. It doesn't matter if we weren't living in dirt huts till right now. We're the same people because the mentality is the same, because they quickly forgot. They were around when Christ was crucified. They were there when everything, even they were there for the resurrection. They saw all of these things. And after a short while, they forgot. And Paul's like, hey, like, what's going on? I know you guys are struggling. I hear all these things, but all I hear is what and why you are not, and you're forgetting is how you can. And we get to a place in our Christian walk that we have every excuse in the book, right? But we forget about what God has already done in our lives, and we forget about who God truly is. Because if we realize who God truly is, then it doesn't matter about the situation. I told my staff members before I left, you know, I was like going on vacation, and everyone's like, oh good, get some rest and all that stuff. And you know, what are you going to do for rest? And I said, really, you know, I listened to a sermon and it really convicted me, because rest, which is really our Sabbath, right? Rest is not physical, feet up on the chair, sitting in a pool, drinking a piña colada. Rest is this, with our Father, right? Rest is how much do you dedicate a time, because that's what the Sabbath is. The true meaning of the Sabbath is, what are you doing? What day are you setting aside to be alone with God? To find your rest, your internal rest that you need. Because any fathers in the room, right? Any dads in the room, travel with little kids on vacation, all right? Maybe just me, but it's not vacation. When you have a 2, a 5, and a 6-year-old, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, so whatever it is, you're just, whatever they want to do, you're feeding them, cleaning them, and jumping in pools. It's just, it is vacation, but at the same time, you get back and you're like, can I have another vacation from the vacation? But it was good rest. Why? Is because I made it a focal point that I needed time with the Lord. Made it a focal point, even though I was on vacation. We went to church on Sundays and we spent time with the Lord. Made it a point because I know as a man of God, that's what I need most to function properly in this world. You know, you can be around. If you're around Teen Challenge long enough, you have a lot of fun, but you sometimes meet some crazy fun people. And I just think about a time I went through and I graduated with this individual at God's Mount in 2009, and he was on fire for the Lord. And he went to go work at a Teen Challenge and all that. And then times just happened and he ended up leaving. But he had such a great calling on his life. And within a year, it just fell out. He had people feeding him information and videos and other things, and he went from being a professing Christian to believing the earth was flat, and the next thing he became a Muslim, and he was, you know, just everything, just a whole drastic change. And why? Is because his own foundation was built on sand. His whole foundation wasn't good enough to withstand the influence, the negative influence that was around him. The things that we allow in our lives, and you know, You know, I know sometimes people say, yeah, you know, well, Jesus sat with the tax collectors and the sinners and all that stuff. Yeah, he did, but he didn't stay. He didn't sit. He sat. He came. The message was brought forth, and he moved. He moved because he knew, like anyone else. We tell the guys, you sit, go to a barbershop long enough, you get a haircut. We use the drug version on the other side, so that's the nice, clean version. If you're somewhere long enough, that stuff's just gonna. It's gonna, you know, if you're someone that really likes to watch movies with a lot of profanity and nudity, and you might say, hey, that's my thing. But the thing is, that's eating away at your spiritual soul and your spiritual caliber to tell you to do the right thing. It's not because, oh man, Christians don't have fun. They have all these rules. No, you know why? Because that leads to death. All of that leads to death. It does. It may be good for a minute, and like I said, you have to figure that out with the Lord, but that stuff is not beneficial, and it's not for you. And I'll end, the second point is, we need to sow into eternal things. Sow into eternal things. My mother-in-law, great woman, that's who I was down in Florida with, and we were down there for about 2 weeks, the longest I've ever taken, but she is, her name is Sherry Grossglass, and her husband, my father-in-law, passed away this past October. He was a pastor in Rock and Webster, called Webster Assembly of God. He was out there, he's a pastor for about 40 years. But he suddenly passed away, and I kind of wrote this kind of thinking of her, because she would always tell us, anytime we were around the house, and she would hear us kind of like, you know, me and my wife disagreeing, because when you're married, you don't fight, right? You just disagree. You don't fight, you disagree. You guys just have we just disagree. But she would say, she was like, well, you know, is that eternal? Is that eternal? She would say to us if we were worrying about something, or she might saw that our wheels are turning, and she would say, simply, why worry if it isn't eternal? Why? Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not grow up. Paul writes in the verse before this, in Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8, how we can avoid growing weary and doing good. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. We must sow into eternal things, things that matter. Sow into spiritual things. And this isn't just for men in the program that are sitting in here. You know how you can help not grow weary while doing good? You know how you can help get past this thing that you're in, maybe a little funk that you're in? You know what you can do to get past questioning if this is the place you need to be, or is it really what God has for you? Sowing to eternal things and not into your own selfish desires. All that gets you is reaping negative and toxic results and poor decisions. How about sowing into prayer time in the morning? How about sowing into reading your Bible? How about sowing into being a leader in your home, your community, or even in Teen Challenge? How about putting some work into this thing called a relationship with God? Paul kind of hints more towards this, that he writes to them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says to them, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How important it is to keep your relationship with God focal. Like I said, read this book. Paul goes through everything. He doesn't just, you know, have a pity party with them, like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. Like, no, he tells them, hey, at one point, I believe it's here in verse, in Galatians 4, verse 20, he literally says, I wish I can be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. He was so adamant and so like, man, what happened? What happened in the short time that I've given you the good news, the best news that you can have? And he goes and he encourages them. If you read through chapter 4, he talks about Hagar and Sarah, and he talks about, hey, we are heirs to the king. We are heirs to heaven. We are heirs to the promise that God has given to you, because he had to make sure they knew it doesn't matter if you are a Jew. It doesn't matter if that you are a Gentile. Only thing that matters is by faith you have now received the Holy Spirit in your life that has granted you salvation, that the price that Christ paid on the cross, the blood that he shed on that cross, is now covered in your life. And that's what matters. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. And church, sometimes we need to remember that. It doesn't matter what our situation is. It doesn't matter that they're going through. These men walked through the door and they probably thought no one loved them. They probably thought our hope is away. And now they stand here today to tell you, guess what? I found what hope is. His name is Jesus. I know what hope is. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, a transformed life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not matter the situation or the circumstance. And I don't care what it is. You can bring that check to the bank and it would always cash. Whatever your situation is, God will get you through it. And that's why Paul is so adamant to the Galatians of what happened. Because, the best part. Because if you walk by the Spirit, because he says, do not grow weary, right? He doesn't say you will not grow weary. He says, do not grow weary. Because Paul knew, hey man, things are going to happen. When you are saved, when you are set apart, things are going to happen. Some things you might not like. Some things you might not even think that God even, that's from God in your life. But don't grow weary. Why? Galatians 5. Verse 22, and we all know it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions, with its passions and desires. See, when we walk by the Spirit, we inherit what the Spirit gives us. Is the fruit. In those times that we aren't patient, we'll be patient. In the times that we aren't kind, we'll be kind. In the times that are frustrating, you will understand that the inner weariness, you will be tired. But if your relationship with God, right? When God tells us in Corinthians, when you are weak, I am made strong. It doesn't mean that you're going to go outside and pick up a car. No. What it means is, hey, I know you can't do this. I know you're going to be weak. But when you are weak, if you are tied to me, right? John 15 and the vine, we can go all day. That's what's great about the Bible. Because if you're a Christian, you should know your Bible. Because times are going to be hard. Hopefully I didn't spoil that for you guys. You know that, right? When you are a Christian, times will get hard. Times will be hard. But God gives us everything we need in his word. Our hope has to always be in Jesus Christ. Us doing good to receive our eternal victory is us sowing the gospel of Jesus Christ into other people and not just ourselves. Watch how you are influenced and sow into eternal things, and you have a good start of not growing weary while doing kingdom work. Staying consumed by his word and presence brings eternal rest and not temporary satisfaction. And in Galatians 5 verse 13, he shares, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you are kingdom minded, when you are sowing into eternal things, when you are walking by the Spirit, God sustains you, but you also want to help other people. You'll have the strength to do that. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your continued support of Buffalo Don't Teen Challenge. Pastor Tim, thank you so much for everything you guys do for us. Like I said, if you have that connection card, if you guys want to speak or need any more information, we have our table in the back. Thank you and God bless.
Amen. Let's all stand. Yes. Yeah, Parmian. Absolutely. Dave Rotoli, the mic is yours, bro.
You know, sometimes Sherry and I have been touched today by you guys. And sometimes we have to make a stand for things we don't understand. So we went to their table and we bought a really nice board. And we're going to put this on our main counter and we're going to look at it all the time. We're going to know where it came from. But we took another step today. In memory of Nicole, we signed up for the dollar a day support, and I'd like to challenge this church to step up. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. All right. Hallelujah. So, you know, I know the men will be here. If you want prayer, you want to talk to them, you want to just share something with them, or again, yeah. Be prayed for or pray with. Of course, we have a dinner next door, and everybody's getting ready over there. So I hope you can stay and enjoy that time together. Father, we just know that you're alive. You're at work. We see this played out here today in the lives of these men. And may we see it in the lives of all of us all the time, God. That you are faithful, as someone, one of the men said, you know, his verse, he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just know that we're saved by your grace and all, and yet we know that we have to be diligent in our walk with you. The devil doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take time off. And so we've got to be diligent in our seeking after you. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day, this special time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The men will be here. Josh, others, myself. Failing that, head on next door. We got a lot of food. We're going to have a great time together. You're dismissed.